Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Sorry, Bernie Sanders, but there are some lines that Christians have drawn which to cross would remove us from the realm of Orthodox Christianity. One of which is faith in a triune, three-in-one, mathematically inexplicable, logically incomprehensible God. Another of which is faith in the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, the Christ, as the one who takes away not just the sins of the world, but our sins, uniquely and personally, by his means of grace. These two lines are sharply drawn by the Athanasian Creed. And yes, Senator Sanders, we confess, as does the Creed, that those on the other side of these lines, outside the circle of Christianity, are in fact and sadly condemned. Just like the Muslims have their lines drawn and believe that Christians are condemned infidels, and the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, the Hindus, the Sikhs, the Jews, even the atheists, all have their lines drawn, their creeds, outside of which you are not a recipient of salvation, heaven, moksha, enlightenment, or whatever. Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith, and whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally, you confessed. So today is Holy Trinity Sunday, the only Sunday on the church's calendar that has as its focus a part of Christian doctrine, not an event in the life of Christ, not a season in the life of his church, not the commemoration of an apostle, a prophet, a patriarch, a martyr, but the doctrine of the Holy Trinity. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. There are two dangers with your understanding of the Holy Trinity. One is to find the Trinity so mysterious that you simply don't care to confess a robust, vibrant Trinitarian faith. The other is to seek to make the doctrine of the Holy Trinity an object of rational scrutiny, making the Creator subject to the logic of your created brain, refusing to be satisfied with that which can only be apprehended by faith and not fully comprehended by reason. Both are perilous tricks of the devil to entice you away from life in the Holy Trinity. Lack of desire to be drawn into greater communion with the one holy triune God is just as problematic as an overzealous desire to comprehend all the mysteries of the Holy Trinity. Because of the great treasure of the doctrine of the Holy Trinity, a doctrine, as all doctrines are, not intended for your head, but for your heart, not for speculating, but for living, the church gives you this relatively late addition to her calendar, the Feast of the Holy Trinity. And she bids you, joining her in confessing this third ecumenical creed, the one that she digs out and dusts off just for this one Sunday a year, the Athanasian Creed. So what did you confess? Whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. And whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the substances, neither confusing the persons, nor dividing the substance. This Catholic faith, dear pious Lutherans, is not limited to those who submit to the authority of the Bishop of Rome, the Pope. Fear not, you haven't swum the Tiber River to Rome. Catholicity, being Catholic, is not limited to those who broadly define sacraments so as to be able to enumerate seven of them. In fact, according to the Creed, Neither submission to the Roman pontiff nor enumerating seven sacraments is part and parcel of the Catholic faith. Catholic, a Greek word, simply means universal. The Catholic Church, therefore, is the Lord's Church throughout time and space, broad enough to encompass Christians who confess this common faith in the triune God, and narrow enough to exclude those who believe in a God, but do not believe him to be triune, or who try to confess some other type of Trinity, using words like mother, child, and womb, or even father, mother. The Catholic faith, the faith necessary to confess in order to be saved, is that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity. Three co-equal, co-eternal persons in one God. If that doesn't blow your mind, you're hearing it wrong. If it's not an incomprehensible mystery, you're not listening. Faith receives the benefits of life in the Holy Trinity. The doctrine of the Holy Trinity does not save you. That's not what you confessed in the Creed. The triune God saves you. Let us give glory to him because he has shown mercy to us. Mercy. Not power or majesty or sovereignty or awesomeness. Mercy is the defining characteristic of the Holy Triune God. The Father sent the Son to be the substitute for sinners. The Son lived and died to take away the sins of the world. He rose to give life to a dying world, ascended in order to send the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gives to you faith in Jesus, who reconciles you to the Father. The whole economy of the Trinity is to do this one thing, to show you mercy. Everything you know about the Trinity, you know through the revelation of Jesus on the cross. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. There is a mystery beyond comprehension in the Holy Trinity. But what you can know about the triune God, you can know with absolute, crystal clear certainty. His entire work towards you is to save you, to have mercy upon you. That's why we confess that there is no life apart from life in the Holy Trinity. That's how Jesus answered Nicodemus. Unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. That is, Jesus clarifies after Nicodemus' joke, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. To be more precise still, unless you are born again in the waters of holy baptism, marked with the name of the triune God himself, the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, three persons in one triune name, unless you have life given to you by the triune God himself, you have no life. Not life that lasts, that endures. And with these words, Dr. Luther preaches, Jesus upsets all of Nicodemus's pretensions. He demolishes and condemns all of his works and his holy life, saying, my teaching is not concerning what you must do or not do, but concerning what you must become. It aims not at performance of new works, but first at being born anew. Not a different life, but a different birth. Be born again. Be baptized. Receive life from outside of yourself. Life from the triune God. In baptism, the triune God has given himself to you and made you his own. In absolution, the triune God keeps you as his own, preserving, zealously guarding his own possession, you. Declaring his words of love to you in his word of absolution, I forgive you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. The doctrine of the Trinity is not a secret. It is well known. A secret remains a secret as long as you don't know it. Once it is revealed, it ceases to be a secret. But a mystery remains a mystery even when it is revealed. In fact, the more you know about it, the more mysterious it becomes. Such is life within the Holy Trinity. He is love. And his love has an object. You are the object of the love of the eternal, holy, triune God. He marked you with his name in holy baptism. He forgives your sins in his holy absolution. He preaches to you in his holy triune name. He reminds you of his name in his incarnation. He sends you forth in his name in his benediction. Blessed be the Holy Trinity and the undivided unity. Let us give glory to him because he has shown his mercy to us. So live in the mystery of the Holy Trinity and in the mercy of the Holy Trinity towards you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.